Well, good afternoon to you. 306 here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where, as always, baby, you know it. We're making sense of the news. Coming up, Paris Dinard joins us from the Republican National Committee. Cheryl Chumley stops by at 4 o'clock. We talk to her about religious freedom in the United States as the normal people notch a couple victories in the past week. Steve Malloy will be with us at 4:30, the founder of Junk Science, to talk about the Supreme Court restraining the federal government's out-of-control power over your lives. And then at 5 o'clock, Mark Brnovich is here, the Attorney General of Arizona, to react to the Supreme Court deciding to allow Joe Biden to get rid of the Remain in Mexico policy. We explored all the details of these big decisions as the show moves along, and we'll have you join us at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Just listening to Rachel Sutherland's newscast, I couldn't help but notice that, you know, you've got Ketanji Brown Jackson sworn in today. That's the news. And is it really going to be a change in any meaningful way? Like, the press is going gaga. They're like, oh, the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. Like, that's the most important thing. Actually, the most important thing is whether or not she will have good judgment, right? That is actually the most important thing about an incoming Supreme Court justice. But what are the chances that she ever votes differently than Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor? What are the chances? When will that happen? Taking your bets now. Call us at 888. I'm serious. It's just nuts. You can call us, though. 888-630-9625. It is nuts. I mean, the idea that this represents a difference or a diversity of any kind, it doesn't. It represents conformity. And she was taking the oath. I'm listening to the newscast. She's taking the oath to be a Supreme Court justice. And I can't help but think that she's pledging allegiance to the agenda of the Democratic Party. Those might not be the words. That is the intent. Prove me wrong, Justice Jackson. Prove me wrong. But I doubt she will. I doubt she will. But the last week of the United States Supreme Court's decisions as this term comes to an end has been, all in all, on the whole, pretty great for America. The kind of thing that makes you, I think, prouder to be an American. And, you know, we've seen, of course, Roe versus Wade overturned. That's the big kahuna. That's the big one. Fighting for gun rights, you know, the idea that concealed carry permits can be handed out on an arbitrary basis. Goodbye to that. Nope. You don't have to have a good reason to get a concealed carry permit, says the United States Supreme Court. Thank goodness. Some wins for school choice, wins for religious liberty. We'll talk about that with Cheryl Chumley coming up. And then the big one today, the EPA and all these other federal agencies can't just invent laws. They can't say, well, we're a big agency and we interpret this very vague language that's in the law to suggest that we have dominant power over your life. Nope, you can't do that either. Today, in a 6-3 decision, the majority decision being written by Chief Justice John Roberts, he says Congress never gave the Environmental Protection Agency the authority to change the methods that a power plant uses, regulations known as generation shifting requirements. The Wall Street Journal reporting on this. The EPA can't restrict greenhouse gas emissions, that is carbon dioxide, from power plants. They can't just do that because they have overinterpreted the available language in the law. And it's straightforward. If Congress wants them to have this power, they need to write it in clear language. Because ultimately, that's the pro-democracy position. A federal agency only gets to do the things that Congress explicitly says it can do. And that's the way it should be. Because those agencies are black boxes. They're opaque. They've routinely made up powers for themselves that they don't necessarily have, or the law is so ambiguous that they assume they have it. And that's the kind of dark space into which corruption flows. That's the kind of dark space that doesn't involve having a direct connection to the American people. You get to elect the representative, the congressman who represents your district. You get to elect the senators who represent your state. And they are the ones who are directly responsive to you. So if they'd like the EPA to regulate how much carbon dioxide comes out of a power plant, then they'd better damn well put it into the law. And in this decision today, John Roberts notes that efforts to actually codify this into law have failed routinely. That there have been plenty of times that Democrats have presented legislation to make it so that the EPA would have this power, and it failed. So Democrats, every time they, again, presented legislation, were under the impression that it wasn't yet the law. And so they decided to ignore that. Barack Obama and Joe Biden decided to ignore all of it and say, you know what, heck with Congress. We'll just interpret some statute the way we feel like it, and then we will have, and we will stake out territory that Congress hasn't even given us through the Environmental Protection Agency. And the court slaps all that back today. That's a great sign. And so once again, actually very much like the Roe v. Wade decision, this is a restoration of democratic norms and principles, democracy, the ability as a citizen to vote for the government you want. We live in a democratic republic. We have the direct election of congressmen. We have the direct election of senators. And so therefore, they are the ones who are responsive to the people. And they, with our permission, get to make the calls here. Not some government agency where it's a big mystery and it ends up crushing the American economy, crushing the American people, crushing American liberty. Enough with that. So this is the first step in what is a long road in taking back control from the federal government and giving it to the states, giving it to the towns, giving it to the people. So the way this Supreme Court term has ended, pretty good. Now, the other big one today, of course, is this decision to say that the Remain in Mexico policy can be brought to an end by Joe Biden. Biden eking out a victory of his own today in a 5-4 decision, that he can end Donald Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. Now, this is bad news as a policy matter for the country because our border is already wide open. And whatever semblance of a border control policy existed was probably found within the tiny number of people that the Biden administration was even putting into the Remain in Mexico policy. But the reality is, like, Biden wasn't even following the Remain in Mexico policy. They already flipped the bird to the courts months ago. We're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they haven't been following it. A very tiny number of people were awaiting their asylum proceedings in Mexico. But the Biden administration was ignoring that. And now the Supreme Court says today, yeah, it's within the capability of the Biden administration to get rid of the migrant protection protocols, the Remain in Mexico policy. Now, as a principled matter, it's a good thing. And here's what I mean by that. It should be up to a president to rescind the executive actions of the prior president. That makes sense. But what's interesting is how many times that didn't work for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wanted to get rid of DACA, right? And Barack Obama put it into place. And you think, okay, we got a new president. He's calling the shots. If you're not going to make a law about all this, and Donald Trump in particular with DACA says, you know what, we're going to enforce the law again, not just have some executive invention of law, which is what DACA was, which is that, you know, the decision by Barack Obama and company to ignore enforcement of our immigration laws. So Donald Trump goes along, he's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to enforce the laws. And the court's got in his way. He's, oh, you can't do that. You have to abide by the Obama era. So there is a very uneven standard of justice, obviously, at just like everything else going on here. But as a principled matter, yeah, it should be within Biden's rights to yank in something like Remain in Mexico. Is it the wise decision? No, it's not. It's deeply stupid and destructive and damaging and abusive to the American people. Deeply. What do you make of all this? 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Let's take Richard in Frederick. He's on line two. Richard, good afternoon.
I agree with you about the border policy. That is destructive. But this thing with the EPA, I don't think it's really going to matter worth a squat. The Democrats have a policy of they'll do what they want, and if we win it in a court, to say that it's incorrect, they'll do it in a different way. And they will force people or force us to spend money in order to get it enforced. And that's their goal. They keep breaking laws or changing rules that they know go against what it is supposed to be, to force people to have to go to court and hope that everybody will get tired of spending the money to enforce it, and then they just get their way by fiat because nobody wants to fight it because they can't afford to fight it again.
Yeah, they'll corrupt every single area of the government they can. They'll start a bunch of fires, and it gets really hard to put all of them out at once, obviously.
That's what they're doing with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They keep finding something to attack him for, to force him to have to spend his money in order to defend himself,
right,
hoping that sooner or later he's just going to raise his hands up and say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. No, they want to get him to cry uncle. No, you're right, Richard. Thank you. Good call and good point. I mean, as you know, the left has an insatiable appetite for achieving, through authoritarian means, its agenda. All of this lecturing that you've been receiving from the left about, hey, why aren't you defending our democracy? Our democracy is on the line. You hear this constantly. It's all projection. Every last sentence of it is projection. They loathe democracy. When the Supreme Court rules the way the Democratic Party's policy preferences go, then they herald it as a great day for America. Long overdue. Great achievement. Rights have been finally secured and blah, 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 blah. But every time the court rules against a Democratic policy priority, what is their position? The court's illegitimate. The court needs to be torn down. We need to pack the Supreme Court. We need to nuke the filibuster. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. Listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just this week, who is the conscience of the Democrat Party today. Listen to her on with Stephen Colbert.
I believe that President Biden should entertain expansion of the Supreme Court. I believe that he should forcefully come out in ending the filibuster of the United States Senate. I believe that he should call on Congress to repeal the Hyde Amendment.
Taxpayer funding for abortion.
And I also believe that Congress, we have the possibility when we are strengthened by the repeal of the filibuster, or even the change to a talking filibuster or a standing filibuster, in doing so, we can codify Roe, we can codify, and all of the other cases that the Supreme Court indicated that they would threaten. We can codify same-sex marriage, we can codify the right to contraception, we can codify interracial marriage.
She is so stupid. You know, at the end of that, the point she was making, which is like, if we have these policy preferences, we should make laws. Yeah, no kidding. That's what the Supreme Court keeps saying. Roe versus Wade gets overturned. The message of the court is that this should be left to the people and its representatives. Pass laws to fulfill your policy prescription. Stop using the Supreme Court as a vehicle for your political activism. That's destructive. And I love it. I saw, you know, Jennifer Rubin today, not a smart woman, at the Washington Post, reacting to this decision, knocking back the EPA, saying you can't create laws. She was like, all right, well, the Congress is going to have to do it. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. No kidding. That's the entire point of what the court said today. That's the entire point. But of course, they want to tear down the institutions. Joe Biden heeding the call of AOC this week. Listen.
The most important thing to be clear about is we have to change. I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights, it should be, we provide an exception for this, require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
If he can speak in complete sentences, what he's saying there is, I want to nuke the filibuster in the United States Senate. That's what he said today. So he's paying the ransom payment. He's, you know, he's got AOC standing next to him saying, say it, say it. And now he's saying it. I want to nuke the filibuster in the Senate. The left, very agitated by liberty, individual liberty especially, very agitated by democracy, self-determination. They don't like this. This past week has been a rejection of the authoritarian impulse that they are desperate to wield and then pretend it's democracy. It's 321. How to live their lives, and then you instead have to pass laws. Mr. Penn in a phone himself tweeting today, quote, "No challenge poses a greater threat to our future than a changing climate," said Barack Obama. "Every day we're feeling the impact of climate change, and today's Supreme Court decision is a major step backward." Really? Really, Barack? Hey, how's the install of those 2,500-gallon propane tanks at your sea-level mansion going? Did they get them installed? Did you get the gas? Would you be able to afford the gas living in Biden's America? Curious about that. William is calling in from Springfield. He's on line three, wants to react to some of these Supreme Court rulings. Hello, William.
Hi, Vince. I agree with you in principle about the stay in Mexico, but I disagree with the practicality of turning it over now. You know, I think they should turn it over. I mean, they should. Well, they did, you know. But, you know, let's see how it works in November for them.
Yeah, so what the point you're making is, okay, so the border's wide open. Let's see how that goes in November.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's going to go well for them. Have they seen the voting in South Texas? Have you seen what happened? Myra Flores, who's married to a Border Patrol agent, comes in on a wave election already in a special election this year. William, I don't think it's going to go well for Democrats.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's just wait and see.
Thank you, William. Wait and see. I tell you, the border images, they're about as rough as they've ever been. You already saw it earlier this week. 50-some people cooked to death in a truck. Cooked to death, a human smuggling operation. And the Biden administration gets mad that anybody asks them to be held accountable for it. Like, hey, it's your policies that are making this happen, enriching the cartels. Stop getting so political, they screech. No. Stop opening the border. How about that? You see the video getting around right now of the Texas Department of Public Safety arresting another smuggler, and a bunch of illegals jump out of the back of the car. Some dart off to one side off the road. The other darts into the middle of the road, middle of a highway, instantly hit by a vehicle and killed. Instantly. Like it's deer, just like sprinting across the road. These are the policies the Biden administration's created, and they're not slowing down. They're just going to keep going. And now it's even got some very high-profile people invoking the I word, impeachment. We'll share that with you coming up. Well, good afternoon to you. 3:35 here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we are making sense of the news. Coming up today on this year's radio program, we've got Cheryl Chumley joining us from the Washington Times at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about religious liberty, a bit of a renaissance on that topic this week. 4:35, Steve Malloy is here, the founder of Junk Science. We'll talk about this big Supreme Court decision knocking back the tyranny of the executive branch and saying you can't just invent laws. You need Congress for that. And Mark Brnovich will join us, the attorney general of Arizona. A couple of big decisions out of the United States Supreme Court today that he was involved with. So we will chat with him. We'll chat with you as well at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. We've got some new polling data for you, and things are not looking good for New Low Joe. Not at all. In fact, for the first time, at least for a moment yesterday, Joe Biden's job approval rating dropped to under 38% on the Real Clear Politics average of polls. They average out all the polls over there at RCP, and they found that he is now below 38% for the first time. Americans disgusted by what they've seen out of the Biden presidency. And if you'd like more proof of that, look no further than this today. The Associated Press, NORC poll out today, shows that 85% of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. Among Democrats, 78% say the country's headed in the wrong direction. That's Democrat poll respondents. So at least a healthy percentage of Democrat voters have their eyes open. What will they do about it come November? Well, let's ask our next guest. Joining us now is Paris Denard. He's the RNC national spokesman and the director of Black Media Affairs, and he joins us now. Hello, Paris.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. What does all this survey data tell you? It keeps heading in a worse and worse direction for Joe.
Well, it tells you that the American people are not stupid, like the Democrats want us to believe. It tells you that the American people are looking at what is happening in this country and how it's impacting their lives on an everyday basis. And by every objective measure, things are worse for the American people, whether it is on the issues of the economy, whether it's on the issue of public safety, international security, when it looks at drugs, with fentanyl being the leading cause of death for Americans 18 to 45. The American people are looking at these gas prices and this inflation, and they're saying it's just not working for us, it's not working for our families, and we need to do something about it and hold someone accountable. And the people that are being held accountable are the Democrats, and rightfully Joe Biden. You mentioned all these different polls. There's another one that came out by the Joint Center. And this one is particularly interesting because it's polling with Black Americans. And their poll showed that 50% generally say that the country is on the wrong track. And 65% rate the state of the economy as just fair or poor. And 61% say that their personal economic situations are just fair or poor. And that is what the Black community, specifically the Joint Center's polling. So all demographic groups, Democrats especially, and Black Americans, and most Americans are saying the same thing. This economy is not working, and Joe Biden and the Democrats are responsible and will be held accountable come November.
Do you think that most Americans, including, as you mentioned, Black Americans in that survey, are laying the blame at Joe Biden's feet, that they're connecting their economic distress with Joe Biden?
Well, this is a very important question. The question is, are they blaming Joe Biden? I think the answer is, yes, they understand that Democrats are the ones that are in control.
Right.
And that Biden is the one who is not leading. That's why you see his poll numbers continue to decline. It's also why you see over a million people over the past year come over to the Republican side. And so the other thing, the other question that Republicans have to answer is, will they then vote for Republicans? And I think that they will. We've seen examples of that in these special elections that we've seen in Texas with Hispanic voters putting in Myra Flores. We've seen it with the recent Georgia primary election where we saw an increase in Black voters coming over to the Republican side. And we've seen it when it, as it relates to the engagement the Republican National Committee is doing in the Black community, Hispanic community, Asian American community, and all different types of communities across the country through our community centers. What we are saying is, here's the contrast of what happened under Democrat control and what happens when Republicans lead, not just at a federal level, but even right now, Republican governors. And we see this trend of this excitement and this enthusiasm on the Republican side because people are looking at Democrats and saying that they're not leading, they're not doing anything actionable today to help me and my family. And thus, the Republicans, we have to then make the case. And let me tell you, Vince, I have been with a lot of our candidates, our diverse group of candidates, men, women, small business owners, just everyday Americans who are stepping up to serve, and they are making the case, and people are going to respond in kind come November.
I guess that's the other piece is, like, I'm looking at the enthusiasm and trying to get an assessment of what it's going to look like in the lead up to and on Election Day, because as you know, across the country, we've kind of stretched Election Day out by a bit, and it's become a little bit more of a season. As voters cast their votes this year, what are the numbers you're looking to kind of get a sense of their enthusiasm? We had some elections this week on Tuesday, and these were the first elections since Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. And what I was interested in was to see whether or not there was a Dobbs effect. It doesn't look like much has actually changed. What are you watching?
Well, look, we have an incredible data team at the RNC. The chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, has put a lot of resources into our data operation that we provide to our candidates. And what we're seeing is consistent, what we've seen all along, and that is Republican voters are enthusiastic and are voting, and our numbers are increasing. Our voter registrations are up. Our voter registrations are up. The people who are actually casting ballots on the Republican side are up. And in many instances, we're beating the Democrats. And so we haven't seen this Dobbs effect. It hasn't dampened our side, and it certainly hasn't pushed their side in the recent elections that we've seen. And we don't think that it will, because we know that overarching issues of the economy, of gas prices, inflation, and issues of public safety are really, really top of mind pocketbook issues for the American people.
Do you think Americans have a sense, you know, Joe Biden today, he attacked the United States. He attacked the Supreme Court while he was overseas at this NATO summit. And in fact, let me just play this. This is Joe Biden attacking his own country while overseas today.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader in the world in terms of personal rights and privacy rights, and it is a mistake, in my view, for the Supreme Court to do what it did.
You think attacking the United States of America is going to do anything to give him an assist in the elections?
Well, why are we surprised? He attacks the American people on a regular basis. He says it's our fault. He tells with the gas prices, he says drive less. That's what the Democrats in the Biden administration are saying, drive less. Well, the Democrats in the Biden administration have said you go buy an electric vehicle, which is very, very expensive. So they continue to do things like this by skirting the blame and pushing the buck to somebody else because they don't want to be held accountable for their failures when it comes to what they're doing and not leading. And so if he wants to go overseas and trash this, our United States Supreme Court, it's not going to play well with the millions of people who look at this Democrat Party and say, you are not a party of life. You are actually the party that is supporting infanticide. You are actually the party, the Democrats, who are supporting late-term abortion. You are the party who used to be for limited abortions and used to be for calling, as Joe Biden used to call abortions a tragedy. Now they're saying abortion anytime, anyplace, anywhere, abortion on demand, no limits. We are getting these candidates on the record. This is the challenge. Every Democrat candidate running for federal office or local office need to be asked a simple question. Do you agree with any limitations on abortion? And they have been unwilling to say this.
They won't.
Because their position is so out of touch with the mainstream. But to your original point, Vince, look, Joe Biden is not going to gain any support by attacking the basic fundamental institutions of this country and attacking the American people and hurting our industries like the energy industry, like he continues to do through his policies.
Yeah, I mean, there's polling on this question, too. The idea that he would dismantle the Supreme Court or pack the court. The majority of Americans are opposed to any of that, regardless of their opinions on some of these recent court decisions. They're opposed to meddling with the court, which is why the White House, like they came out this weekend, and were like, no, we're not going to pack the court. They're trying to put that conversation down. But I tell you what, Paris Denard, as I'm watching, there are people on the left, AOC and others, who are not slowing down. They are very eager to dismantle American institutions, and they're trying to browbeat the White House into submission.
And I will tell you this, any Democrat that's running right now who tries to pretend like they're going to be a moderate are not being honest, because the liberal Democrat wing, the progressive radical wing of the Democrat Party, is the dominant force in that party. And they are dictating a radical progressive agenda that's outside of the mainstream for Republicans, independents, and even Democrats. So everyone who's running on the Democrat side today will be a rubber stamp for that radical liberal progressive Democrat agenda, no matter what they try to say. They will be voting lockstep with an agenda that is very, very frightening for a lot of Americans, including the so-called moderate Democrats, which don't exist in the Democrat Party in leadership anymore. And those blue dog Democrats, those conservative Democrats, they are running them out of the party left and right. And you know where they're coming? They're coming over to the Republican side.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever tried to tell Henry Cuellar he should switch parties? You ever, like, hey, like, what if you did that? Like, because AOC wants to run this guy out of town. He's like, you know, I heard AOC this past week say, you know, any pro-life Democrat, we need to get rid of them. We need to primary them and throw them out of the party. There's no room in the Democratic Party for babies surviving. That's the position of AOC.
And you know the position of the Republican Party? I heard Kellyanne Conway say this. She goes, our party is an open tent party. You have people in leadership right now, elected officials, who differ on abortion. Now, they won't go as far as to have, you know, supporting partial birth abortion and late-term abortions and infanticide, but there are pro-choice Republicans.
Yeah.
There are more. They exist. We've seen them how they vote and some of the elected officials. We see that. They're not run out of the party. They're not pushed out. They're not ostracized. They know that we are a party of life and we support life, but we don't run people out of the party like the Democrats do. And that's the beauty of the open tent, inclusive Republican Party.
This is a party that says, we want you in our party, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, blue-collar worker, black, white, Hispanic, otherwise, come to us.
Yeah.
Let's work together to impose conservative principles that work to make and empower and uplift people.
Yeah.
That's not the Democrat Party.
Well, you should at least give those Republicans a good talking to. Be like, hey, we're a life party, all right? Come on, get on board. The other piece I want to ask about is, you know, what is the message that is being sent by the Democrats as they keep conducting these, like, January 6th theater performances over at the Capitol? Because you've got, as you mentioned at the top, Paris, we've got an economy that's devastated. We've got inflation we haven't seen for over 40 years. We've got gas prices we've never seen before. We have people incapable of finding things to take care of their babies, to feed their babies, you know, formula, the simple stuff. You've got, you know, I saw, like, feminine products, shortages of tampons. Like, that's insane in America in 2022. And, of course, what the Democrats seem to be focused on are these theatrical performances in Congress designed to slander their political opponents. What's the view within the RNC at all of that?
The RNC is going to remain focused on talking to voters, connecting with voters, going door-to-door, safely door-knocking and phone banking, and connecting our wonderful, diverse lineup of candidates who are trying to improve and empower the lives of the American people. We won't be distracted by a sham committee who is interested in political theater that is not even conducting themselves the way they should, given the rights of the minority party to have people cross-examine, if you will, and question a lot of the hearsay testimony that is being debunked left and right. But you don't see it because all they want to do is push a Hollywood-produced narrative to lead people to one conclusion. And that's not what justice is about. That's not what truth is about. And it's unfortunate. But you know what? The American people aren't tuning in. They're not watching. And what they do want is to see solutions. What they do want to see is progress. What they do see is action. They're not getting that from the Democrats.
All right, last question for you. It's a real brain buster. Is the Republican Party a big enough tent for Liz Cheney?
I don't believe that Liz Cheney is going to win her election.
That's
right. We're confident that the voters are going to do what they feel, and that is vote for people who align with their values. And I don't believe that. It's very clear that Liz Cheney does not align with the values of and the policy position of the people of Wyoming.
Well, she's definitely putting that on display, that's for sure. Paris Denard, thank you, RNC National Spokesman. Great to have you with us, sir. Well, you know, House Democrats are crazy, so they won't do the thing that's right for the country. But John Voight, one of the stars of the hit series Ray Donovan, and of course many other things, says it is time to impeach Joe Biden. Take a listen to the video that's got everybody talking.
My dear friends, we're all saddened by so much turmoil that has been brought upon this life we live. Can this darkness be lifted? Can we all share joy once again and see eye to eye? We have a troubled nation with much horror from these criminals that are ruining lives. We must stop this now. We must bring back our nation's safety. Our police force must act on righteousness and guard our neighborhoods, our businesses, our children, our elderly, our veterans, and our handicapped. We must protect this nation and bring back safety. We're all feeling very unsafe. We're all angry. And let's remember why. It starts with the seat of the President of the United States. He has wronged this nation's glory. He has taken down our morals, our true gift of the land of the free. He must be impeached. We cannot wait another second having him dictate our path. Let us work together, get him out, and make this country what she stands for, greatness, the land of opportunity, the land of the greatest soil our forefathers fought for. Don't let this President Biden tear down every inch that was sacrificed with blood, sweat, and tears for his dictation of lies. I urge all to see truths. I urge all to make a difference for our children's future, our future, because, my fellow Americans, this land is being broken down. But we, as a nation of God's truths, shall build her up once again and bring her to her feet with glory. God bless America. Much love to you.
Good message from John Voight. A good message. Eyes wide open. We've got problems. We need to fix them. Can't do it with the guy who's in the Oval Office right now. Or at least right now he's actually technically overseas attacking America. But eventually they'll put him back in the Oval Office, prop him up, have him spit out a few more words. Things need to change, and soon. And there's John Voight recognizing it. As you might imagine, the left attacking him. Irrelevant. Not even a good actor. It's a good thing Angelina Jolie cut him out of her life. They're vicious. It's just mean people. 358.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.